I would like to go through the Gemara and get into the story. And the Gemara is not history merely. In fact, it was written hundreds of years after the actual event transpired, but it is Torah, and every word is relevant to understand and to better the causes of the Churban, to get a deeper insight. The Gemara begins in Gittin, Amr B'yayfim, my dear Siv Ashrei Odom Lefate Tomit Umakshe Libo Yipo Gero. What does it mean that a person who is not worried about consequences and hardens his heart will fall into evil? Refers to the destruction of Yerushalayim, Tor Malka, and Betar. And the Gemara tells us regarding a Kamsa Bar Kamsa Chorav Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was destroyed because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. And a Tarnagolta Chorav Tor Malka, because a rooster and a hen in the city of Tor Malka was destroyed. And a Shofet Arispik Chorav Betar in the side of a wagon, Betar was destroyed. And what is the story regarding Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, for which Jerusalem was destroyed, that there was a certain man who we will call Mr. X, whose good friend was Kamsa Ubal Debove, and his enemy was Bar Kamsa. He made a party, Mr. X made a party, and he sent his servant to invite for him Kamsa. Ozal, he went and isolated Bar Kamsa. He brought Bar Kamsa to the party. When the host came into the party, also he found Ashkei David Yosef. He sees Bar Kamsa sitting there. Amalei Mirti Ahu Gavra Baal Debove Ahu Gavra Hu. My voice say, you're my enemy, what are you doing here? And he tells, and he says, Kuh, please get up, and Kuh, go out. Amar Lehi says, Poyo Vatsoi, since I came, Shatkin, please let me stay, the Adina Loch, the Meimad, the Achil Nevishosino. Please let me stay, and I will give you the cost of my food and drink. Amar Lehi, so the host said, no. Amar Lehi, Hibna Lech, the Meipal, the Sudosek, I'll pay half for the entire party. For all half of all your cost for the party. Amar Lehi, lo. He said no. So then Bar Kamsa offered the Ahidna Loch to make Kula Sudosek. I will pay for the entire party. Amar Lehi, no. Noch to the Yodeh, the host took him by the hand. The Ukman lifted him, the Afghan evicted him. And then Bar Kamsa said to himself, Amar Hoyo Babi Yasvi Rabbonin, below Michu Bey, the rabbis were sitting here, the sages, and did not do anything. Shma Minokon Michu Leho. Eza Echo Bar Kurtza, I will cause problems. And he went to the Roman emperor, and he told the Jews are rebelling, and the Roman emperor gave him an igla tilsa, the finest calf. And while he was bringing the calf, Bar Kamsa put in a blemish in the calf, which under the laws of the Beis HaMikdash, it is something that cannot be offered for a sacrifice. And the rabbis were contemplating what to do, because now they have an offering from the Roman emperor, which they are not allowed to bring on the Mizbeah. And Zechariah ben Apkulus, who was the head of the Sanhedrin, said, Yomu Bale Mumu Kreidim Megabi Mizbeah, that we cannot sacrifice it because people will think that we bring Bale Mumu on the altar, Sover L'Mikdale, so they wanted to kill Bar Kamsa, the Lolezel, the Lema, that he should not go back and tell the emperor what happened. So Zechariah ben Apkulus said, Yoimu, they'll say, Mato Mumba Kutchim, Yehore, that if we're killing, for putting a blemish in a sacrifice, a person was killed. And then the Talmud concludes, Omer Reb Yoichan, I'm the Sinusos, you have Zechariah ben Apkulus, Echrives Potenu. It was because of the modesty of Zechariah ben Apkulus that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The story, in short, the Gemara began with Ashrei Odom Mefate Tomit, that all this is a cause because we are not afraid of consequences. And then the Gemara tells us regarding Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, that Yerushalayim was destroyed because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. The Gemara concludes at the end, Rabbi Yochanan says, because of Zechariah ben Apkulus, Yerushalayim was destroyed. What is it? Is it because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, or is it because of Zechariah ben Apkulus? Secondly, What does it mean that Ashrei Adam Mefakir Tamid, a person has to always be worried about consequences? Wouldn't one think that the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash has to be not because we were not concerned about consequences, that we were not wise enough to recognize the consequences that could happen? There must be some more of a theological reason for Churban than that. Further, it's difficult to understand that Klal Yisrael is being accused of not being politically astute. As we examine the story, there are many difficulties. Remember, the story again was that the man invited someone, and by mistake the enemy came and he asked him to leave, and the rabbi sitting there silently and not protesting made Bar Kamsa, the enemy mistakenly invited, angry, and he went to the Roman emperor. The Talmud blamed Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. First of all, I think a fair reading of the story would certainly implicate the host to some extent. Another problem is, why is Kamsa held responsible? Kamsa was not at the party, never came to the party. Why is the Talmud holding Kamsa culpable? Furthermore, what is the negotiation? Furthermore, we have the Marsha's question, why were the rabbis quiet? The sages of Israel do not see something so horrific going on and remain quiet. Chazal tells us that Malm Pnei Chaver B'Rabim is, it's the only aver in the entire Torah for which a person is obligated to kill himself. There are three other averis, three other sins that we are allowed to allow ourselves to be killed. But on this, the Mishnah tells us, Noyach Moila Odom Sheyapil Atzmo B'Soch Kishanesh. He should himself actively jump into a fire, not passively let himself be killed. So everyone recognized the heinous sin of Habonis Penet, public embarrassment, and so much more so a fortiori, the Chachamim recognized that. How in fact were they silent? Lastly, I'd like to ask, what does it mean here that the person, your enemy, is it your party, your sworn enemy, and he offers to pay for your party, that you don't take him up on his offer? One of the greatest pleasures, perverse pleasures albeit, is to be able to be not fail to exploit an enemy. Here's somebody you can't stand is paying for your whole party. Why in fact did the host not accept that offer of Bar Kamsa? In order to understand this, I read over the story, but there was one phrase that I paraphrased, and now I'd like to read the exact words that Chazal wrote, whether he actually said these words or not, but it's Torah, and therefore these are the words they want us to know that the host actually said. The host comes to the party, comes down into the room, and is startled to see Bar Kamsa there, and the way I paraphrase it is he said to him, "What are you doing here? You know, you don't belong here." Listen to the words of the Talmud. Now I'm going to give a literal translation. He came, he found that Bar Kamsa was sitting there. He said, "Nichti, let's see, Hahu Gavra, that man, Bal Debove, Hahu Gavra, that man is an enemy of that man. My boy Sucker, what are you doing here?" What kind of awkward language is that? What a Chazal using such awkward language. The simplest way, though, what are you doing here? You don't belong here. Let's see. First of all, even the let's see. Let's see that man. Like, you have to focus in the whole thing. Let's see. This man is the enemy of that man. This man is the enemy of... Let's see. And this man is the enemy of that man, when it's referring to himself, is very, very difficult language. I'd like to begin to explain what I think here is the key to understanding the Gemara, to understanding what this has to do also with Ashrei Adam Mefakir Tamid, which just doesn't make sense. What if Chazal starting off here and saying that these stories are stories that they did not see the consequences of their actions? What does it mean they didn't see? Who doesn't see the consequences of actions? What it must be saying is not that they didn't see the nolad, but rather they saw the nolad, but they did not care about the nolad. That they were bent on self-destruction. Very often we are involved in things that we know are very unhealthy to us, that we eat, smoke, get involved in relationships that we know will destroy our families, say things to people that we know will create animosity forever, and yet we feel obsessed, compelled to do things like that. Self-destructiveness is a very deep need by a person. Self-destructiveness is, unfortunately, that's what we're going to explain the dynamics of that from Chazal, where it comes from, and hopefully we'll go through how to be mesach in that. We all, to some extent, are tempted and engaged in self-destructive behavior. Very often a person, as the business is beginning to have problems, and on the way down, the person becomes so self-destructive that he accelerates the downfall and the bankruptcy of the business. What is that within us, within the human condition, that generates that feeling of self-destruction? Chazal here give us, in those words, an enormous insight. This is a man who somebody offers him to pay for his whole party. He can get a tremendous benefit, the host, out of this. He's not interested in, maybe it was a fabulous wedding, we don't know. It might have been a very expensive, but he's not interested. He doesn't care, he wants only to get rid of Bar Kamsa, no matter what the cost for him is. That's a person that has within himself some feelings of self-destruction. Listen to what Chazal tell us. He comes down and he says, Michti, let's see, Hahu Gavra, that person referring to Bar Kamsa, Bar Debovit is the enemy, Dahu Gavra referring to himself, which means he refers to himself in the third person. There's a sense of being alienated, being distanced. He is distanced from himself. Chazal, in their inimitable way, is describing for us the seeds of being alienated from yourself by using the words, which is the seeds of self-destruction, the first part, using the words that the person, when he comes down, he even has to focus on how he's feeling. He is so distant from himself that he says, Michti, let's see, Hahu Gavra, that person is Bar Debovit, is an enemy, Dahu Gavra, when he's really referring to himself, meaning that he feels alienated in the words he's describing, the sense he is distanced from himself. This distancing from ourselves, we really find, is really the whole theme of Eicha. Chazal tell us that Eicha is Ayecha. That the seeds of Eicha, the root of Eicha, is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to Adam HaRishon and he asked him, Amina Eitz Asher Tzidisi, that I commanded you, you should not eat from Achalcha. So he began that statement with Ayecha. Where are you? Where are you? And Adam HaRishon, when someone comes over to me and would start a sentence, where are you? Did you eat from something? Or where are you? I'd look at him. What do you mean, where are you? You're talking to me. Which means that Adam HaRishon bought into the sense that he is being distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He bought into that. Ayecha is like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking for him. He is also not exactly sure where he is. Otherwise he would answer, what do you mean Ayecha? What do you mean where am I? I'm right here. He himself doesn't know where he is. And that's what Chazal mean when they say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was nichnas imo bedvar. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu prefaced his remarks to Adam HaRishon with the words Ayecha, where are you, without just coming right away. And Rashi says, and based on the Chazal, that so that he wouldn't punish him, he wouldn't be startled by the punishment. But what does Ayecha mean? What Ayecha means, he's explaining to Adam HaRishon that, Rashi, he wouldn't be startled, and he wouldn't, therefore he would have what to answer. Because if you're startled, you don't know what to answer, and therefore Ayecha was so in order, he shouldn't have what to answer. If he had something, what to answer. So why didn't Adam HaRishon defend himself? Ayecha is really explaining to us and to Adam why he had nothing to answer. Because if after a sin, a person, when Hashem says, where are you, as if Hashem doesn't see him, and he doesn't know where he is, and he doesn't respond to that, that itself self means that Adam now realizes what Chet is. Chet is that you are separated from yourself. There's a distancing from yourself, and therefore he has nothing to answer. And what is his answer to that? When he says, the Amina ate, did you eat? He answers, Ha'isha shenasati madi hinasnali, the woman that you gave me, she gave it to me and enticed me to eat it. But oicho, and I will eat. Self-destruction. His answer was, I ate and I will eat, after he already knows the Xeris Misa, and he knows that it is wrong, and any kind of rationale could not exist after the fact. And yet, his reaction to that is, I ate and I will eat. Self-destruction. Ayekla means, and that's what Echa is, there's a distancing. A person is even distanced from himself. And that distancing from himself will cause him to become self-destructive. Why is a person distanced from himself? So on the first level is, when a person feels that he has not actualized his potential, and there cannot be any more real feeling to a person after Chet than that he has not actualized his potential. Adam Arishan, knowing what he could be, has not actualized that, has not begun the process of eternal existence in Gan Eden, but has rather now lowered himself and made himself from immortal to mortal. The lack of being able to realize his potential has to make him feel very, very empty. His whole existence, he knows now, is empty, which is a sense of alienation from himself. And then that gets deeper to become actually angry at himself and self-destructive, that he understands that he is mortal, he is going to die for that, and he is focusing on his mortality. When a person focuses on his mortality and he knows that he's bent for destruction anyway, as the Talmud has a principle that monatzir tavar, that it is from the moment you take a glass and you drop it, if it's bent towards destruction, it's not considered broken when it hits the ground, but at the moment now that it is rushing towards its destruction, it is at that moment considered broken. At that moment he feels dead, and therefore if he's dead anyway or going to die shortly, therefore he may as well go out in style, he may as well get a pleasure. Self-destructiveness begins with a feeling of not being fulfilled with myself, the alienation from myself, because I have not actualized my potential, and therefore whatever I have now is really nominic soup. I'm a parasite, and all my existence is something that is really just a gift from my Kodesh Baruch Hu that I am not justifying. It's like I'm a beggar, and it's an all present, and it's a very uncomfortable feeling. That's the beginning of alienation. And then if it takes the next step, which is I don't do anything about that, and I see that I'm not only am I not actualized, I'm not trying even to change, but all I am doing is focusing in on where I am eventually headed, to Mokum Rima the Soleil, to be food for worm and maggots. And right now, at that moment in time, immediately, a person has a feeling of becoming more self-destructive. I may as well accelerate the process, and whatever pleasures I can get along the way will only be to my benefit. That is the psychological thing that Chazal is telling us here by writing that the person who is into self-destructiveness talks about himself. He needs, first of all, to focus on himself. Michti, let's see. And then Tahu Gavra is talking about himself in the third person. That's what Chazal are telling us. Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tumim. Rashi says they do not worry about they have fear, and Rashi says that these cities were destroyed because they did not worry about the takolas and nolas. So our question was, what do you mean, they weren't intelligent? And this is not a philosophical issue, this is just a lack of political savvy. The answer is no, they knew what was going to happen, but they were self-destructive. What Chazal are telling us here is Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tumim, Makshalibo, a person who hardens his heart means and makes himself self-destructive, is Yipo Barot. This, we now begin to understand the number of the questions that we ask. First of all, let's deal with the question, which is the most perplexing of all, and the Marshal deals with it. How come the Chachamim let this go without responding? Let's talk first, there's a mitzvah of Tochacha. There's a mitzvah in the Torah that we are obligated to criticize somebody. It's a mitzvah esed deraisa. You see somebody doing a chet, you're obligated to criticize them. What is the posture of the person who is fulfilling the mitzvah tochach? I think most of us at some subliminal level think that the mitzvah tochach is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu deputized all of us to be his sergeant of arms, and if we hear somebody making a sound that he shouldn't in the base, can I just shout him down, evict him? You are empowered, you're a sheriff, you're my HaKadosh Baruch Hu deputized us all to do that. And that it's part of our holy obligation to be carrying out his orders to us. And you see that very often, but that's exactly the way people feel, that that's what they are fulfilling when they are doing the mitzvah of tochach. But of course we realize that anybody who thinks that's what tochach is should not do tochach. Because one thing we know for sure, and the Shalom Paskins this, and he says a beautiful psak halacha based on this, there's a question of whether or not I have to give tochacha to a person. Should I criticize a person if it's not going to help? So that's a machlokas rishon. If I'm still obligated, whether I'm still obligated to criticize when it's not likely it's going to help. But the shalos is one thing. Where it's going to make worse, that everybody agrees you're not allowed to give tochacha. It's a shame that's a mitzvah to say dover hanishma, it's a mitzvah shaloy loymar. And we all know if we have one grain of honesty that when somebody comes there self-righteous and all of a sudden starts pouncing on us, we get defensive, it escalates. And I was just recently in a shul, and there was a guest there who all of a sudden didn't like that there was too much speaking during Kriyas HaTorah. It was a simcha, and the guest on his own started saying, shh, I'd like everybody to be quiet. And I can tell you from then on, that was about Revi till Shvi, it just kept on escalating, the amount of noise. It escalated and escalated, and I think that's the natural reaction. When a person feels that someone is putting them down, and what happens is that you become defensive. And the Rambam tells us tochacha is different. The basis of tochacha, the Rambam says, is I care about you. I am your friend. And I go over to you and say, I care about you, and you are doing things that are harming your family, your reputation, your own hazeh, your own haba, anyway. And that's why, of course, the most effective tochacha is first to go over and ask the person if they have a place to eat. But if the only contact you had with somebody in shul first was, please, this is my seat, and you move, and then somebody else goes, please, this is my seat, move, and then you go over and give him a little tochacha because he's talking too loud or he's davening too loud, we understand that's going to make it worse. If when he came over, you brought him a sitter, you brought him a chumash, or you asked him if he has a place to make kiddush, and then you say, please, we have a strange minute here, we don't talk during davening, then you can be sure that he will be very responsive. Tochacha is a function of care. Tochacha is a function that a person feels someone cares about him. That's why the root of the word tochacha is koach. It gives an enormous energy and security to somebody when they feel somebody believes in them and cares about them. And therefore, if that's the principle of tochacha, someone who is bent on self-destruction, there's no way of giving him tochacha. Chachamim here were very astute in their appraisal. They understood here we are talking about someone, a situation of people that are bent on self-destruction. On people that are bent on self-destruction, the host is not somebody you can go over and give any tochacha. What are you going to tell him? I care about you. He doesn't care about himself. Not only doesn't he care about himself, he's accelerating the amount of enemies he has, the ill will he has, the bad reputation he's having. He understood these consequences. How does he think everybody's going to look at him? Because, you know, today you're his friend, tomorrow you may be evicted from his party. A person that is ashrei adam mefachet chomim means that we have to be worried about consequences and not be bent on destroying ourselves. When you see someone that is bent on destroying himself, it is almost impossible to give him tochacha. There's a long process, an arduous process of building him up, given that he knows you care about him, doing things for him, and then trying to get him care for himself like you care for him. But to begin doing that, that's an impossibility. So it's no doubt, of course, the Chachamim were going to do Tochachim. They were going to wait. They understood that this is a host with serious problems, that no one's going to forget this party, but this was not the appropriate time. Because since the host is a person who is, as we're learning in the Chazal, who's alienated from himself, doesn't care about himself, doesn't even want to have the joy of totally exploiting his friend, but he is so self-destructive that he wants to harm the other person, even if he receives no benefit at all from it, which is the ultimate of self-destruction, then this is not a person that at this time and place is ready for Tochachim. And with this now, we then begin to understand who is considered here by Chazal to be responsible. Kamsa, Bar Kamsa, the host is not mentioned. Let's first of all define who we're dealing with here. Kamsa, you know, all names mean something, Chazal. Kamsa, komets, means a fist. I would suggest that Kamsa means tight fisted. He's tight fisted, miser, like the Torah defines, like seek first as your death, don't make a fist. What is a Kamsa? Somebody who doesn't have money, is he a miser? Someone who can be tight-fisted if he has nothing in his hand, he has no problem. He opens up his hand, but yet I have no money for you. It's only the person that has sovereigns in his hand, gold and ducats in his hand, that has to keep his hand closed. A miser is somebody who has money, but doesn't want to part with it. A constant is not only doesn't get stuck, a constant does also what? He doesn't spend money on himself either. Kamsim is somebody who is alienated from himself and not wanting to be able to enjoy the resources that you work for, that Hashem blessed you with, and you finally have money, and you begrudge yourself minimal benefits from that money, means you're alienated from yourself. So Kamsim is a miser. Bar Kamsim, I would think, is the antithesis of that, because the word bar means antithesis. It means opposite, outside. In Aramaic, bar means outside. The Marshal learns bar here means the sun. But that's not a contradiction. Very often, the two spaces that have to be most separated from each other is father and son. And that's Bible for sure. Why do we call it a bar mitzvah instead of a ben mitzvah? Well, why use an Aramaic word? Ben mitzvah should be much more appropriate, like ben Torah, ben mitzvah. Because the message of bar mitzvah is that the son is baruch shepetarani neil. He's a separate and distinct entity, a different entity. And that's the most the father has to focus on that and deal with him like that. So even if it's the son, but means bar means his own probably opposite, outside the realm. And by the way, it looks like that because Bar Kamsa begins, in order to save his pride, is willing to pay for the whole party. So at the beginning we have a Bar Kamsa also. We have somebody who is anti, who is not alienated from himself. He loves himself. He's willing to spend a fortune to protect his image in the community. And what does this person do? Fascinating. After he gets this rejection in his mind that all sages sitting there were in agreement with what happened and not that they were planning what would be the proper time to admonish the host, he becomes furious. And what does he do? He brings about the destruction of Yerushalayim. That means he destroyed, we have no place that there's any mention that he cut a special deal, exclude my family, like by Rav of Hazayna. We have no indication that he himself was even spared. But even so, his people went down, his family went down, his city went down, all things the person is connected to. So even who he who began as a bar kamsa becomes also bent on total self-destruction. Because when Yerushalayim, when the hordes of the Roman legionaries went through and slaughtered Yerushalayim, his family was also there, his friends were also there, his house was also burned, so he also at the end became also self-destructive. Again, Ashrei Adam Nefachei Tomei, he doesn't care, he is so furious no matter what's going to happen to him. This is the ultimate, but no matter what's going to happen, happened to him, he doesn't care. He has to get his pound of flesh against the host. Why is the host not mentioned here? That has to be a glaring omission. How does Chazal leave out the host? And why is Thompson held to be responsible? The Gemara tells us in Yuma a very fascinating dictum. The Gemara tells us, "Kol hamerachem al ha'achzor." Whoever has compassion for somebody that is cruel, lipsoif nasa achzor al rachma. Whoever has compassion for someone who's cruel will eventually be cruel to someone that's compassionate. And the Gemara brings this from the greatest of all, Shaul HaMelech, that he had compassion on Agag. He was compassionate with Chamal when he wasn't able to kill him. Ulebisof, this righteous and holy person, got to the point that he wiped out a city, Noiv Ir HaKohanim, wiped out a whole city of Kohanim, the most innocent, the most pristine, the most holiest of human beings, those that deserve compassion more than anybody else. So from here, Chazal derive a dictum, a principle. Whoever is a Rachman ala Akzor, whoever has compassion on somebody that's cruel, will eventually become cruel with someone that's passionate. Why? First of all, the fact that it happened one time, maybe it was an aberration. Just like it's an aberration to be compassionate on somebody cruel, maybe he had some kind of split personality that he was also cruel but with compassion people. How does this become a principle? And if it is a principle, what is the principle? What kind of principle? Anytime that a person does something that is unreasonable, he'll always do the opposite of it. One would think he has the midah. He has maybe a little more exaggerated midah, but to say that therefore he'll do things that are totally undisciplined at all. Why? What are Chazal saying? What Chazal are telling us is that what does compassion? What does it mean to be compassionate? Where is the basis of Rachmanis? Why do we have Rachmanis in certain people? Rachmanis comes from the ability, compassion is the ability to empathize. I identify with something in that person that is within myself. In fact, the word rachem in Aramaic means love. Rachem is love. It's a sense of oneness. There's a sense of being able to identify and feeling oneness with somebody else, and therefore I can relate to that. And that's why it's much easier to relate to the korban when they talk about the individual stories, individual happenings to a particular person, than when you talk about the clouds. It's very difficult when you talk about 6 million, when you talk about one, two, somebody, even if you don't know them, but some story you can identify with and you can feel connected to, then it makes a much more ability to internalize it and to personalize it. That's what Rachmanis is. So if a person has Rachmanis on somebody that is cruel, what does that tell us about his nature? Not that he is a compassionate person that has gone beyond the measure, but rather that means he has cruelty in himself. Because if you can empathize and identify with an Agag, with an Amalek, who embodies cruelty, that means that Shaul has some cruelty in him. And Chazal were just waiting. When is this going to happen? With Soif, eventually it's going to have to come out. With Soif, you're going to have to be an Achzor al Rachmon, because you are a cruel person, not a compassionate person. If someone's best friend is Kamsa, they are telling me who I am. If my Rachim is the person I identify with is a Kamsa, is a miser alienated from himself, that means I relate to that sense within him, and I am comfortable with that. They are describing the host accurately. How are they describing him? By telling you the person that he loved, the one he felt close to, and telling you that the one that was his enemy was Bar Kamsa. The person that loved himself in the beginning, Bar Kamsa did, is the person the host can't stand. And the person that the host feels comfortable and identifies with is the person that is alienated from himself. So in fact, they are describing to me accurately the host, and that's why Kamsa is mentioned here. Kamsa means because his being able to give over and to get close and to inspire others to identify with him in the feeling of being alienated from himself is the beginning of self-destruction. the beginning of not being the Fakhay Tamid, not caring what happens to us. And that's why now, of course, we understand why, of course, he's not interested. No matter how much money you're going to give him, he doesn't care. The host doesn't care. He wants to get rid of you. He's not interested. He's alienated from himself. No matter, he wants to get rid of Bar Kamsa. One question remains on the Gemara, and that is the Gemara. So now we understand Ashrei Adam Mefachet Tamid clear. Ashrei Adam Mefachet Tamid does not mean, as Tosfos learns, that they were not aware that there would be negative consequences. That requires a whole other reading of the story and the facts and assessment for a different time. Rashi, who learns here that they were not afraid of the takola, what I'm suggesting Rashi means is that not that they didn't know about it, they knew 100%, but they didn't care because a person that is alienated from himself is self-destructive. And this, of course, now becomes an enormous moral issue. One question we still have left, and that is, but this end of the story is Mibnei and the Sinuso shows the Chari ben Akulis. The Talmud says it wasn't because of Kamsa bar Kamsa, not because of Ashrei or the Mephate Talmud. It has to do with Chari ben Akulis. I think it's clear here, is Chazal giving us a lesson that I hope we can, at least we tend always, that if we have a shortcoming, we project that on others. Now, the chesaron of being alienated from ourselves was, that's the basis of all the destruction. We're not Mephate Talmud. Yidoyle Yisrael, to whatever extent that they are from that generation and that they didn't turn it around, means that they have some taint of that also. But it's not Chas V'Sholem on the level that we have, that we are alienated, that we want to destroy our friends no matter what the cost is to others. That's God forbid. But even when a shortcoming is by a gadol, don't think it's what we're capable of doing. It is on a much more adin, a much more delicate and sensitive level. What Chazal are telling us that by a gadol, the same thing of being alienated from oneself comes out as being mitnei on the sinuso. He becomes over-modest. Obviously, Rabbi Yochanan is not saying here, even though the Rambam says in Halacha, a person has to go to Kotza Achron, the proper chassid is a person by amidus. It's different than the other amidus. Humility, you should be shfal ruach mode, like the Mishnah says. However, that it must be a little bit beyond that. And that's what he's criticizing. On the sinusa means that he is a little too alienated, not in touch with himself. Overly mild. More shofel ruach. More in touch with the soko rimo the soilea, the Mishnah is. Too much in touch with a sense of mortality, that by the gadol, that doesn't come out, God forbid, like with us to take revenge and even to destroy our families and destroy others, but to be a little too mild. He didn't have the courage. He didn't feel enough of himself, connected to himself enough to say, yes, we will kill him. Yes, we will be mocker of it. Because he also was tainted, but on a very, very, a hint, a hair of the same shortcoming that the rest of us, that the Klal had. That's what Chazal is telling us. So the story is really giving us the entire spectrum. On one hand, it's the Ashrei Adam Mefachet Tamid that doesn't care about what's going to happen to him, no matter how negative what's going to happen to him. And then as long as you can get some kind of hurt to somebody else, you'll do it. And this is, by the way, Maisim B'chol Yom. I mean, there's mamish not a day that anybody that's in the community doesn't know. If you ever involved, God forbid, families that are going through divorces, if you're a rav or a social worker, or even they confide in you, you know the parents are many times interested in, they don't care what's going to be with the children, anything in order to be able to get there, back at their spouse, anything to be able to hurt them, no matter what the cost to themselves is financially, they don't care. As long as she won't or he won't get any money, I don't care if I don't. I don't care what happens to the children. This is an enormous problem that we're still going through. And on the level at the top, it means that our leaders were a little bit too removed from their greatness and not in touch with how gewaltig they were and how strong they were to be able to make the decisions that kind of strength would have, that required that kind of strength. The last question is, now I want to start, we have to know how to rectify this. This is, therefore, a moral issue. This is a theological issue of the greatest consequences. Why do I think this is the most important? Why is the Beis HaMikdash destroyed because of this? I mean, we're all getting along. People still get along for thousands of years. We're getting along. It's not like other countries that there's civil warfare, brothers killing brothers, monarchs. It hasn't been like that. And yet, this destroyed the Beis HaMikdash more than idolatry, adultery, and murder combined was a 70-year korban. And this is 2,000 years, and it doesn't look like it's over yet. Why? What is Sinas Chinam so terrible about? Why is the punishment korban? Because when a person is alienated from himself, and a person is destroying himself, he is destroying the Beis HaMikdash. Every single human being, soul, is a Mikdash Mat. There's a Mishkan in everybody's heart. Each and every one of us has a Mishkan Bilvavenu. Every one of us has that. And to the extent that we don't actualize our potential and we are alienated, there's an Ayeka, then we are not building that Beis HaMikdash. And God forbid, to the extent that we get involved and bent on self-destruction, we are being mocked of that Beis HaMikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made two Batei Mikdash. There's an external one for the entire Klal, and then there's one that each and every one of us has within ourselves. Each one of us has a Beis HaMikdash within ourselves. And the Beis HaMikdash within ourselves, if we destroy that, then it's clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no choice but to destroy the one outside. Because we have already, if we are not ourselves a repertoire and a reservoir and building our own Beis HaMikdash, but destroying it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly, the whole purpose of the external one is only to create the internal one. And if we've already destroyed and we're bent on destroying the internal one, then we've been makriv his bias, and therefore he's makriv the external one that's purpose was in order to help us achieve a greater shleimus of the internal one. And that's the story of Kamsum Bar Kamas. How do we deal with this? If Ayeka means that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Adam, where are you? And Adam's like, he doesn't know. He's also not sure. He's become alienated. He doesn't know who he is anymore. And afterwards, when he starts realizing, after he internalizes that, and he says, Ishu Shem Estakar Imodi, which means at that moment it registers on him that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he doesn't know where he is, and Adam didn't answer, what are you talking about? It means that Adam also didn't know. When he sees that at that moment, then he says, Ba'oichol, he becomes self-destructive. That means this is already from Adam Rishon. What are we supposed to do in order to remedy that? How do we get to love ourselves? What is there a way to love ourselves? What are we supposed to do? The Medrash says, the Rabbi Akiva says, that Klal Gadol the Torah, the basic axiom of the Torah, the a priori axiom of the Torah is the Ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha. A person has to love his friend like himself. Comes along his Talmud ben Azai, the Medrash in a number of places, but one of them is the first places, is Perakei in Bereishis Rabba, and says, what about if you are buzzy Beinecha? What about if you don't like yourself? If the Torah says you have to L'Re'acha Kamocha, that you have to love your friend like yourself, and what about if you don't like yourself? What are you supposed to do? It's just every time I think of that Chazal, and I think that what our Avosenu HaKadoshim were involved in thousands of years ago, when other people were mamish savages, swinging from trees, eating people, our others were discussing what about the human being doesn't like it. So, I mean, are we not a different Muslim than the rest of the world? There's a different Mitzvah to call yourself. So on this, Ben Azai says, Zayas Sefer told us other. That's Ben Azai's answer. In the Ein Yaakov, which brings a Medrash, the Maral doesn't know the source of this also. He brings it also from the Ein Yaakov and the Nesivos Olam. Says another. Yaakov says, "Esakeves ha'echo tasa baboker, esakeves ha'sheni tasa." Ben Azai says, "But maybe you don't. How about if you don't like yourself?" So on this, Then, as I said, that sefer told us, Odom, the Yom Baro, Hashem Elokim, the Yom Baro, the Musa Elokim, Baro Oisto. That he created a man in the Musa Elokim. And Rabbi Yaakov says, it's like Heves or Echot Tasa, that in the carbon pomade, that the daily sacrifice was brought once in the morning and once in the afternoon. How does that help? What are they saying over here? I'd like to go through three different ways to begin with how a person can get to like himself. The first way is what Ben Azai says. What Ben Azai says is the Musa Elokim. A person has to know what he is. A person has to, instead of focusing on that part of him, where does the feeling of self-destruction come from? It focuses on because the person sees himself, he's going to be in the grave, food for worms and maggots, and it's going to happen and it's inevitable. So meanwhile, let him at least go out in style, let him have some pleasure, meanwhile. What Ben Azai is saying is there is a whole, the rest of Adam. The rest of Adam has an immortality, as in the Shomu has immortality, but even the Guf has an immortality. But Musa Lakima also there's an immortality to a person's body. That there's a, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, even though part of us, which is also only due to our chet, that even that was destroyed, but the rest of us is guaranteed that there's a Chiyas HaMeisim will be resurrected, and there's a Neshama that has an infinite amount of Koyach of immortality, and to begin focusing on that. How does a person begin focusing on that? So the pasuk he brings is the Zeh Sefer told us other, which includes the Mus Elokim. What does the word the Mus Elokim mean? So the Rambam tells us in the Moira, we have different words for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have different words for we were built, we were in the Tselem Elokim and the Mus Elokim. The Rambam tells us that the word b'mus comes from the word doin, similar to. And I think it means as follows. We have a mitzvah in the Torah that we are obligated to be misdamet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to emulate him. Isn't it a little bit presumptuous? When you start seeing somebody who reads a story about the Chafetz Chaim and already starts acting like the Chafetz Chaim, dressing like him, maybe buying a hat like he had, or taking other his other mannerisms and doing other things, you would think it's a little presumptuous. You pretend you're the Chafetz Chaim. You better be yourself. And here the Ribbono Shel Olam says, we are doing it to him and we are obligated to do things that he does. What are we doing here? What does that mean that we're obligated to emulate him, obligated to do things that he does? Clear one thing is because we are the mus means that we are a miniature, we are a model. And Tselem means a picture, which a picture is not the thing itself, it's just a replica of what's going on somewhere else. A model of something is the exact same thing, but in a smaller form. Like a person makes a model car, it's the scale, it's the same thing, it's scaled down. The Mus Elokim means we are a model, and therefore we have within ourselves the kochus of godliness within ourselves. And if a person wants to get in touch with those feelings, the thing he has to do is act out of those feelings. Do the things in ourselves that bring out the feeling of being dominant to him. Do the things that bring out the godliness in ourselves. When a person does an act of chesed, that brings out godliness within himself. A person feels elevated. And when a person begins feeling elevated, he starts believing in himself. He understands who he is, what he can be. When a person does, whether it's Dikur Cholim or Tzedakah, any of the mitzvahs of being mizdamet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not just the idea of doing the mitzvah, it's doing it in the way that we understand that what we are doing is something godly. There's a godliness in us. Because if we did not have that godliness, we would not be obligated to mimic it. And therefore, when we do it, it must be that we are actualizing that. And when a person begins actualizing his feelings of godliness, it gives him an enormous strength within himself. He starts feeling good about himself because he starts feeling holy. So instead of focusing in on the lower parts, on his lower extremities, we start focusing on the part that's going to become dust and worm food, he begins feeling the part of him that's ennobled, the part of him that has an enormous godliness about him. And the way one does that is by doing the mitzvahs that bring that out. All the mitzvahs, the halakha, the drachah, all the mitzvahs to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, imitate ideas, to act out what he does, is because we have that within ourselves, gives us the power and the feeling within ourselves of that we have a Dmus Elohim. We can then internalize that feeling and begin feeling good about ourselves. When you think you're doing chesed for somebody else, and you think that chesed is something that the beneficiary of the chesed is the one who receives my kindness or my money, or this is the gufo or the mamono, it's nothing compared to the benefit to the person doing the act of chesed if he begins to internalize it, because there's an energy surge when a person gets in touch with the godliness within himself. And that's for sure what the Mishnah means, that the Olam is Oymed on Torah Avod and Gemilas Chasodim. Why does the world have to stand on Gemilas Chasodim? Not HaKadosh Baruch Hu created society, as all the social revolutionists are trying to create, in which there will be no need. Let there be no longer let there be an end to poverty. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that. It's Hayad Hashem Tikzah. Hashem has no problem doing that. The reason he doesn't do that is because chesed is not for the recipient only. There is the real gain of chesed is the person that does chesed becomes an ambassador of HaKaviyochel, because it brings out the godliness within ourselves, which is really the purpose of creation. It's not that it's the need that the Ani is receiving that is the purpose of creation. It is that man becomes ennobled and godly by doing the act of chesed. That's one way in which we can begin growing, feeling better about ourselves, beginning to feel, focusing on the part of ourselves that has the nitzchias, that has the immortal neshama. Another way is Rabbi Yaakov says, "Es hakedas o echot taser baboker." Carbon tumah. What does that have to do with carbon tumah? What is the message there? One of the things that give all of us a great deal of strength is when a person feels good and makes good decisions. And when a person is consistent, day in, day out, making a right decision, making a commitment, honoring the commitment. After a while, a person starts feeling good. A person starts feeling that he is the master of himself. He owns himself. He's not being pulled by all kinds of... Most of us react to other people's agendas. The person that you answer in the office who calls 10 times is not the person that's usually your agenda. That's because he bothers so much you answer him. It's not that you have 2 children and one child is the child who pulls on you and says, "I want to talk to you, mommy," and the other one is so quiet and hungry for affection that they stay in the room. Which one is the parent going to respond to? The one that pulls on them. And which one needs it more? The one that doesn't even have the ability to know what they need, that they're so almost forlorn and have given up that they don't even want to ask for it anymore, that they feel so rejected. Most of us react. We are reactive instead of being proactive. A person who makes decisions, carries out decisions, sets his own agendas, and every day, day in and day out, does the right thing, gets an enormous, enormous strength. One of the things that you'll ask anybody, of course I know it's right not to talk Lashon Hara. Not only that, I can't stand myself while I'm talking Lashon Hara. But I'm sitting with my friends, you know, I also have a need to be socially acceptable. So while I am not, can't stand myself of my need for social acceptance is something that overpowers me, and therefore I'm doing something that while I'm doing it, I'm not even enjoying doing it because I know this is really a good friend of mine. Just because I want my friends here to think that I'm funny or humorous or not stupid, and therefore I am making fun of him too, is something that eats me up while I'm doing it. But I'm a weak person, and I give in to that weakness. A person that sets his own agenda and consistently does day in and day out that which is right to me all the time. Doesn't let others. Whenever you do not set your own agenda, you can't be consistent because there's constant pressures that are external that are pulling you. And unless a person has an internal sense of direction and focus where they're going, then everything pulls them asunder. And a person will constantly, repetitively make right decisions, be proud of those decisions, feel good about those decisions, and after a while, a person will start liking himself. I am in control of myself. The main reason that I don't like myself is nasty. My body has its own agenda. It's something different. It pulls me in. It wants me to smoke, and I know that I wake up coughing every morning. I know that my mortality charts, my life is being short, and I know that a secondary smoke is being masked with my family. I know overeating is dangerous. I know that my business decisions are wrong, but things are pulling me. A person who sets his own agenda and decides that what he wants and focuses on the parts of him that have purpose, that there's Avodas Hashem, that there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he knows what he wants, and he constantly makes a series of right decisions, one after another, every day, day in and day out, after a while knows he is the master of himself. That's what Rabbi Yaakov was saying. The person feels he doesn't like himself, start making decisions, carry them out, get control of yourself, and then you'll begin liking yourself. The reason you feel alienated because there's something within me that is pulling me away from the other part of me that's separate from me. You can get control of that. The way you get control of that is through consistency, day in, day out, mastering one day at a time, making the right decision. And after a few weeks of Esakevis Echa Tasa Baboyka Vesakevis Hashem Tasa Ben Abayim, a person feels in control of himself, then a person starts liking himself too. Because one of the reasons, the first reason we said for not liking yourself is you're not actualizing yourself. That there is something that has control over you. You're not Ben Chorin. This gives you a sense of chaos. Control, mastering yourself through a series of consistency, making the right decision. Another very, very important thing, and this I think is extremely important in these times, we have to have a sense, and this also in Zeth Sefer, it begins, Zeth Sefer told us other. There's a history of man. We have a history. We have others. We have an incredible thing. We have Yosef HaTzadik. At the moment that he is in the throes of an enormous nesoyah, the Chazal say, for that is Machayev, that for generations afterwards, everybody with a Yetzirah has to control himself because his Yetzirah was outdid everybody else's. At that moment, what happens? He says the following words. He says, how can I do this thing? Everything that my master put everything into my hands, he trusts me, he believes in me, and the only thing he held back was you, and the chatasim l'Elohim, and then he concludes, it's also a sin. He begins with some moral reason, and then he concludes that it's also a sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But whatever it is, he's saying clear, I can't do it, it's morally incorrect, it's halachically incorrect. Comes along Rashi, based on the Medrash, Chazal, the Gemara, and the Sefer, and says that he saw the Mustiyot Meshalavit. At that moment, he saw a picture of his father in the window, a mirage, some kind of vision of his father. When he saw the Torah tells us exactly why he made the decision. The reason he made the decision was because peace. The Torah says, where do Chazal come to make up reasons that when the Torah says opposite? The Torah says, he says it's usur, it's Zion rightly, because we're commanded in the Noahide laws, adultery, but he began with that it's totally an immoral thing to do. I just can't do it. It would be a total betrayal. I'm not that kind of human being. And all of a sudden, he says, Chazal says, because he saw a picture. What Chazal are telling us is, if we want to make a moral decision, and even want to make a halachic decision, a person has to be moral, and will only be moral if he has a good feeling of who he is. If I know who I am, then I want to act properly. If I feel good about myself, then I will act properly. If I don't feel good about myself and don't feel proud of myself, morality I hear, anyway, I am going to be Rima Vesaleo. Why do I have to be moral? And halachic anyway, I'm going to be burning. What difference does it make? On that, Chazal say that what he saw was the Musti Yukmi Shalobit, he knew where he was coming from. He saw his father, so he understands what his capability is. Our genetic code comes from our father. And secondly, his father told him, Mechoishinatonimchak, you will be erased from everything holy. There's two things that a person always has to be aware of. He has to be aware of his holiness from his parents, give me an idea who I am, and also to give me a sense of the holiness that I have, the potential I can do, I can perform, I can get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the enormous potential I have that I can focus on. And therefore included in both HaKevis or Echotasa Baboker is the same as Mechoshinat Panimchak. There is, you have a spiritual agenda, you have a purpose in life. And Zeth Sefer told us, Odin is, he saw the Musti Yukmu Shalobim. When we keep those two things in line, our Avos HaKadoshim, when we have the most wonderful and holy parents. And we also realize that we have an enormous potential for spirituality to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash inside, to then be zeichet to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash outside, which will then further accelerate the building of the Beis HaMikdash inside of us. That gives us an enormous feeling of feeling good about ourselves. We begin understanding what a person is. And we can't, we're destroying a churban is destroying kedusha, destroying holiness. Self-destruction is really destroying something that's very holy and very noble and very pure and comes from a tremendous source and tradition and history, and giving us that feeling, a person gets a tremendous sense of who he is. And probably more than anything else, if we keep those two things in mind and then we do the mitzvahs of his damas to the boyre to help us actualize and bring out further the godliness within ourselves by doing those mitzvahs that are energized by that godliness, we will begin feeling good about ourselves and overcome this tremendous, tremendous need to destroy ourselves, to focus on the lower parts of ourselves, the part that is going to be destroyed, being obsessed with that, and then we will talk about Zohar to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash internally and to rebuild it externally. Next year, Be'ezus Hashem, we should be Zohar to see the Nechama of Yerushalayim.